What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Man, so you see us with our matching black and blue colors over here. It's Coach James Williams of the Voorhees University Tigers, man. Out South Carolina, Coach Williams, good to talk to you, my brother. How are things over there with you guys, man?
Things are going very well. Good things are going very well. How are you?
I'm great, Coach. Blessed and highly favored, my good brother.
That's a good place to be. That is definitely a good place to be.
Yes, sir. My brother, I'm asking you, man. Congrats on becoming the head coach here at Voorhees. Tell me about it, man. How's it feel, man, to be the head coach leading this program, man, as you all try to get these wins here coming up here real soon?
It's very surreal, to be extremely honest. I hit the ground running. So prior to even, you know, being announced as a head coach, I was putting in work, you know, just behind the scenes, just keeping up the programs, making sure things were running as they were supposed to. Recruiting still had to get done. Schedule had to get done. Ordering T-shirts had to get done. So all that stuff had to get done, regardless of whether I had the job or not. I just wanted to make sure this program stayed afloat and continue going, because you don't want to be the one to have let the ball drop in those situations for these athletes.
And let me ask you, like, the whirlwind, because I know at the NAIA level, it's like a little different than D1. You got to do a wear a lot of hats. So talk about that grind of being able to grind a lot of hats and by a bit the level you've been on, don't have to do a lot of stuff anyway. So how did it help you? Because you already had to do a lot anyway as an assistant coach even at the NAI level.
Well, yes. Working for Coach Huff, he gives you a lot of responsibility. So coming into this, there were some things that he protected. I always tell him he protected me from a lot of stuff. But coming into this, he also gave me a lot of responsibility. So some of the things I was already doing. So it's just a transition of I guess discovering on your own how to process things. But yeah, I'm a grinder. I've been doing this for a little while now, and just being an assistant coach, you kind of learn different things. And there's a lot of coaches that I've worked for that necessarily didn't tell you what to do, but if you watch them and you ask questions, they were always willing to give information. And so that information has just been valuable in this process for me. But a whirlwind, yes, it has been, because, of course, we don't have a lot of the resources that a lot of like some of the schools have. So you got to do everything. And that's kind of the mentality that you have. And you don't complain about it. You just do it because it has to get done. Because if not, my guys are going to look at me. There's a certain standard that Coach Huff left here that you got to fulfill. And these guys are going to look at me like, Coach, you know, this is what we're used to. Can you complete that? So you can't complain. It's almost like being a parent. You know what I'm saying? Your kids expect you to take care of them, food, clothing, shelter, and things like that. And our guys expect the same thing. So that level of standard is the same. I always say it, the standard is the standard, regardless of who's in place. And so we just execute. That's what we do around here. We just execute.
And Coach Williams, talk about the piece of being needs-based, not trying to make sure guys leave with no debt. Because I know for me, and I was going through my process of where I want to go to school and play it. It was about where I leave without the list of debt. Talk about that, trying to find scholarship packages for your guys, scholarships and academics-wise, to make sure your guys are taken care of so they're not leaving college with a lot of debt once they leave your program.
Well, one of the first things is you got to look at our institution. Our university is phenomenal. We're number three in social mobility, according to U.S. Newsweek, as far as in the South colleges. So our tuition is not an exorbitant amount. You know, it is a good amount. But first of all, just the standard that our school sets, our university and our president, Dr. Ronnie Hopkins, and what he and his staff established. And so the second thing is social mobility. Elizabeth Evelyn Wright, who's the founder of our institution, she's the first African-American woman to found an HBCU. She was a Booker T. Washington disciple. So she was big on vocation. So we carry that standard, you know, guided career pathways. So our students, when they graduate, they're already in place from what they've done in their 4 years here to get a job that's going to also pay them to be able to pay back the debt. But the first and foremost is I have a relationship with our admissions department. So I'm up to date on what the standards are as far as getting students in school. What are the different scholarships? I know what's going on in South Carolina. Of course, I know what's going on in Georgia because I'm from there. You just kind of learn various different states and different scholarship packages. And then the type of athlete that I recruit, that I have to recruit, is a student that has an extremely high GPA with good test scores because there is funding here for that student. And I partner with the parents. Once you know what they're getting with the Pell Grant and different grants from out the state and different scholarships, now you can formulate the package. So it really is a team effort from what's happening with the parents on their side. And then most importantly, what's happening with our admissions department here at Voorhees. But the institution already establishes opportunities for students to get a quality education as incoming freshmen. So I'm not afraid to recruit freshmen, not afraid to recruit transfers. We do have a scholarship budget, and it's management. You really got to manage your budget. You know, you really got to be financially responsible and be a good steward of what you're given. To be able to make things work. We got 18 guys on roster, and I'll be honest, out of those 18, 12 of them are receiving some type of academic / athletic money. And then I also have a couple guys who are presidential scholars who receive academic money from the school. And then, of course, I have a couple of international students. So just managing a roster, it goes back to those many hats. I've become a great financial advisor academically in these situations. To add that to the list of things that we do around here.
Yeah, you have some of the NBA have a salary cap almost. You get into the gym. He's making all these roster moves. He's putting it under the cap here. Can we do
That plays a big part. And then, you know, also partnering with our financial aid department. Our financial aid directors, he don't play. He don't play about the school's money. Our business manager, Mrs. O'Berry, she don't play about the school's money. Voorhees has been for a very long time fiduciary responsible. We haven't shut down because of finances. And that's because the people in place are very serious about that. And so when it's top down and it gets to me, you know, I also have the same mindset. I do not want to be mishandling the funds to be able to put somebody in a bad situation. So we got to take care of those things around here.
And I know you mentioned scheduling, and how tough is it to schedule the NAIA level? I know I'm familiar with how they do it at D2 and then D1, D2 is more original, D1 you got to play by game. So how is scheduling non-conference games for you all in the in the IA and GACAC. How is that?
It's a little bit the same. I fortunately was blessed. Coach Huff, before he, you know, went to Edward Waters, he pretty much had the schedule taken care of. So I came into this situation with some things already in place to help me. And I'm appreciative of him for that. But then at the same time, it's relationships. It's relationships. Basically, that's what it is, even at the D1 and D2 level. It's all about relationships. And we don't play in a conference. We're in an independent conference.
Okay.
So our conference is spread out all across the country. So I am a part of a couple of organizations that allow me to be able to reach out to some coaches and get some games. We have five bye games on the schedule. You get those. We play a couple of D2s. South Carolina has a lot of colleges and universities. So there's some opportunities to play some great talent. Some great schools in this state just by itself. And then, of course, my connection to the state of Georgia, which is my home. I have, you know, opportunities there and even setting things up for the following year in advance, just with the relationships. When you're out recruiting and you're in these gyms with these other coaches, you strike up conversations. And before you know it, you know, you got a game on the schedule or they're calling you and asking you, do you have a game? So the biggest piece, I would say, is the relationships that you develop in this business. Now, you don't want to be too good because then teams don't want to play. But, you know, the relationships and being able to give your – I think the biggest thing for me is being able to give my guys an experience. I don't want the fact that we're an NAIA school to take away from their basketball experience because they're not at a D1. So we travel. You know, we travel. We'll be in Florida for 7 days this season. We'll spend Thanksgiving in Atlanta. We'll be in North Georgia. Our conference tournament is in Kansas. So our guys get an opportunity to experience, you know, regardless of where you are, you want to give these young people a college basketball experience. And so that's my mindset and scheduling. You know, we'll schedule an extended long road trip to play a couple teams. And then we'll play our 7 conference games. And then our conference does a good job of, we schedule these pods where you'll play 2 games in over the course of 3 days. To play some conference opponents to be able to build your resume. But for me, this year, our goal with our scheduling was to honestly be a nationally ranked team, to not have to worry so much about the conference tournament and focus on just winning basketball games and be the best version that we can be ourselves going into our conference tournament. We're a 2-bid league, so you got to get to the championship game to even be considered to go to the national tournament. But we can eliminate that if we're a nationally ranked team. If we can get an automatic bid, then, you know what I'm saying, we're not so much focused on the conference tournament being our end-all, be-all. So, you know, we have an internal goal here, and that's part of my scheduling. You want to schedule tough, but you also want to watch your back-to-backs. You want to watch how much time you spend on the road and those things like that. So it is it's a skill. There's a science to scheduling, as you can see at the upper levels with Division I. You know, you don't want to be too tough early, but then you want to be tough down the stretch because – once it comes conference tournament time or NCAA tournament time or NAIA tournament time, you got to win games in back-to-back days or every other day. You want to be able to have your schedule as a test for your guys. So, but you don't want to put too much emphasis on one loss during the season, and then you don't want to put too much emphasis on a winning streak during the season because everything kind of comes down to that postseason opportunity that you want to have for your team.
No doubt. No doubt, my brother. Like, now, with you having 80 guys on your roster, is there a limit? Because I'm trying to get how it works. Yes, is there a limit? Any of them 18 can play in the game?
Yeah, so we have red shirt rules, so you can't play 20% of your schedule. So, you know, there's a certain cap. How many games you have on your schedule, they play over 20%, that's considered a full season. If it's less than 20%, then that's a, you know, quote-unquote red shirt year. So we have those rules. But I think for me, roster management, because you never know what's going to happen. Semester grades, injuries. And then there's a lot of, there's a lot of NAIA programs that have developmental teams. You know, so they'll have, you know, a team that they use to develop to kind of fund and fuel the basketball program, whether you're getting talent or you're getting bodies for practice. We don't have that, but rather keeping 18 is good because there's some freshmen that may not be ready to play. And you got guys with grades. And so you want to be able to have that balance. It, ultimately, if you're really thinking about it, I really have 15 guys, which is like a normal, you know, a normal roster. But you have like 3 or 4 guys that you're, you know what I'm saying, that may need the red shirt or looking for opportunity. So in the event of not having a developmental program, we just, you know, I want to keep around 17, 18 guys. And practice purposes too. You can kind of have three teams, and you can kind of get reps in that regard. And then, of course, you know, you got those walk-ons. We got guys here on campus who think they can play college basketball, and some are talented. And so you want to leave a little bit of room. And then there's also the budget aspect, because per diem and travel, you know, extra guys cost money. So, again, it goes back to that managing your roster kind of situation too, in that regard.
Yeah, man, you the GM of the 4 years. the GM of basketball operations over there, brother. I love it. Let me ask you this, man. For you, what type of young man are you looking for to put in your program? Like, I know you guys have good grades. What kind of character traits are you looking for in a young man? And what are the pillars of your program for a young man listening to an interview who may be interested in coming and come play for you?
So I look for guys who live like me. So I have a core value chart, and that core value chart is called choices: communication, hard work, organization, integrity, commitment, excitement, sacrifice. And so when we look for a young man, we look for those things. We look for somebody who's able to communicate. That's on the floor and off the floor. Are you looking people in the eye? Are you shaking hands? We look for a hard worker, somebody who's going to work. It's not a lot to do in Denmark, and my guys spend a lot of time in the gym. So they're constantly working. So somebody who's not going to be afraid of the work, who's going to lift weights and then go in and get form shoes after they lift weights to work out their arms. Organized, disciplined, organization and discipline. Somebody who's disciplined. For us, that's a huge, huge thing. And then commitment. If you say you want to be here at Voorhees, be here at Voorhees. Don't be here at Voorhees thinking about something else, because I'm here. You know, and that's I'm not looking for my next job. I want to make sure that I'm doing the best job that I possibly can do here. And then excitement. We like young. My guys will tell you, we joke, we laugh. We're excited about the work, but we're also excited about just being a part of basketball, continuing to play at the next level. And then the last thing is sacrifice. You know, if I'm getting better and you're getting better, then we're getting better together. But for that to happen, there has to be sacrifice. I think for me, the biggest thing that I sacrifice is being a father. You know, my son lives in a different state, and I tell people I spend more time with other people's kids than I do mine. You know, so that's a sacrifice that I know coming into this. And so that's kind of what we look for. And if we look at that, that spells out choices. And so we want people to make the choice to come to Voorhees based upon those particular things. And so we say around, we want people that want to be like us. We want people that are crazy enough to come to Denmark, South Carolina, and think that they can make a way in basketball here. Because I did it. And my 18 guys that decided to stay here when Coach Huff left, and then the guys, seven guys that we brought in that decided to come here, they said, man, I'm crazy enough to believe in this guy, Coach James, that what he is doing is, you know, a good thing, and we want to be a part of it. So we want guys like that. That's to be very, very honest. And I look for guys who are looking to make choices and make the right choices. So we hold our guys accountable. Yes. We only have two team rules. They have choices and consequences. So I tell them.
That's good.
The choices you make are going to be the consequences that I give. And so I don't have a list of things that they don't do, because they're young people, and I want them to be able to experience college life. But I say, now, if you make certain choices, there are certain consequences. And we all have those as adults. So we talk about love and grace around here. So when we talk about guys, who are going to love being here at Voorhees, love their teammates, and then also have the grace between the coaching staff and the players, the grace in the room to be able to make mistakes, but also the grace to be able to help correct those mistakes so we all can be better. So that's kind of the young people that I look for to come here for. And I can honestly say we have 18 guys who are like that.
Yeah, brother, that's so simple, though. Choices and consequences. Now, I've heard some team rules before. Those are to the point and simple. Because, man, I say in so many ways to my interns, there are certain choices that we make, but certain results you have to deal with. I say it a little different way, but say the same exact thing, you know, because I tell you what, decisions I've made business-wise has led to me have better results. I tell people, like, you know, that's some decisions I've made business-wise, like, I haven't made one that was bad for me, per se. I'll put it like that.
I got you. And a lot of that is rooted in my faith. I mean, as a believer of Jesus Christ, we have consequences for the choices that we make. And it's, you know, and so I try to live by faith as much as I can, But everything that we do is rooted in how Jesus loved us. And the two commandments that he gave to us was to love our neighbor as ourselves and to put no other God before him. So Those are that's why I said those are my two. You got choices and you got consequences. My team meeting was short. They were very surprised. They thought I was coming with like a list of don'ts. Things you don't do. But no, I said you got choices and consequences. If you choose to make this choice, I'm gonna execute this consequence. And that's how it is. So
no doubt, my brother, no doubt. And I must ask you, man, at what point in your journey did you decide you want to get into coaching?
Probably when I realized that I didn't want to work out three times a day. I actually got cut from this league called the WBA. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Glenn Stenger started this league, and I tried out for the WBA, and I got cut. It was the first time in my basketball history that I ever got cut. And I realized that I don't want to work out three times a day. I don't want to eat right no more. Like, I don't want to continue to do this. Like, I don't have it in me. And it probably was about 2006, 2007. And I was playing in different leagues in Atlanta, a couple programs, some leagues in the Smyrna area and just Ben Hill area, just playing in some leagues. And I just realized that, but I always had a mind for the game. And I had a mind for youth. And so I tell people my passion is not basketball. My passion is helping people get to their purpose. That's why God created me. I just use basketball as that vehicle to do that. So in 2007, I had a coworker say, hey, come watch my son practice. Because I had a cubicle. I was working at AT&T, and I had a cubicle. And it was all – I'm a Laker fan, so it was all Lakered out. You know, Kobe Bryant, I had all that stuff. So he knew I loved basketball. And he said, hey, won't you come out and watch my son's practice? And I watched his practice. I watched his coach. And it was because of the league. He was teaching basketball on the half court. And it was like 45 minutes and they were done. I was like, what? Is this all this is? And I'm a teacher by nature. You know, my trained profession is teaching. I'm actually licensed in the state of Georgia to teach special ed and history. And so I was like, man, there's more to this. And then I just started coming back. And next thing you know, I started coaching. So I started with a little travel program. I had this young lady who allowed me to be like the director of her 17U team. And the team wasn't a known team, but then I just fell in love with teaching the game of basketball and just progressed. And then I realized like AAU coaches don't count for wins. I'm competitive. I still had that drive. And I was like, you know what? I want to do this for real. I want these wins to count. So I decided to try high school. And then that's how it kind of started from there. So.
No doubt, brother. Well, I'll tell you, ask this, man. So I guess I got two more for you. But this is about Atlanta. In Atlanta. So tell me, what is your favorite spot to eat in Atlanta, brother?
Oh, listen, there's this wing spot on Memorial Drive. It is called Atlanta's Best Wings. I know that's probably not the classiest place to go, but it's right on Memorial Drive. On my drive, I used to coach at Drew Charter School in Atlanta. And on Memorial Drive, right by the Chevron, right by the Kroger, once you pass Memorial and Covington Highway, it's right there. It's called Atlanta's Best Wings. And they have these lemon pepper wings with the lemon pepper sprinkles on the fries. That's my spot. That's my spot. Yeah, so that I would say give them a shout out. And then what's your other question?
The last one gonna be when you actually get you some downtime, when you're not coaching, being the GM, well, how do you decompress? How do you turn it off a little while?
Wow, that's a great question. A lot of people don't know. I like to spend time with my son. I try to spend as much time as I can with my 6-year-old. I have an amazing 6-year-old son, and spending time with him. The other thing is barbecue. A lot of people don't know. If I wasn't coaching, I'd be a competitive barbecue pit master. And then lastly, probably going to water. I go to water. It kind of cleanses me. I get a chance, the opportunity to relax. I get a chance to think. There's something just magical about looking at the horizon on the ocean and just having communion with God. So those are probably the three main things that I do. Outside of if I'm at home, then I'm watching old television shows. I just got done watching ER. Like, I rewatched it from episode one to the end.
Wow, the ER.
So I like watching old classic TV shows, West Wing. I'll go back and watch something that I watched continue because it just, I like the binge watching thing. So those are things that I do. Those are probably the four main things that I do.
You know what show I watch all the time? But I know all the lions still, Martin. I
got Martin.
seasons 1 through 5. I'm like,
it still come on TV too. It could be like on TV One or BET. It still come on. So
it's like the jokes are still funny now. I know what they go say. 30 years later, it's still funny to me. You know,
it's still funny. Yeah, it's still. But it's like an old comedy routine from like Dave Chappelle or something. Like Dave Chappelle's show is still funny to this day, even though
we can't
say some of those jokes in public now, but it's still funny. I'll tell you this.
You mentioned the water. Now, a certain event that I won't make light of inspired me to get to learn how to swim. October, I was going to visit Texas swim classes because I was inspired by a certain event that I won't.
And that's a good thing. Swim, like just going out in the ocean, just sitting in the water, you ain't necessarily got to swim, but like that is a good skill to have. You never know what's gonna happen,
bro. I go to the beach all the time, but I don't get in the water. Like,
you don't get in the water.
Let's get the beach. That's like I be on South Beach. I be at Pensacola, Jacksonville Beach, and it's like, I'm not. I can't. I'm gonna go touch the water and I'm gonna come right back.
You don't touch the water. Yeah, you just go to the shallow.
I can't swim, so like I'm not confident. So now I'm gonna see how this beginner class gonna do for me.
I'll give you a little bit of advice. Let your body go. The lot of thing that people do in swimming is they tense up, and that's the worst thing you can do. If you relax your body and let your body go, it'll naturally get into it. It's not difficult at all. Because even if you just learn how to tread water, that's going to be extremely helpful in certain situations. So, you know, you ain't got to be Michael Phelps in this thing, but as long as you can flap a little bit here and get the legs moving and keep yourself afloat, but yeah, relax your body. Let it do its natural thing. You'll be good.
Yeah, sit outside for classes up in Cobb County, man. So Saturdays, I'll be going up there and learning how to swim from 8 until 11.
There you go. That's good. Hey, that's good. The amount of time you put in is what you'll get out of it. So that's a dope thing.
They told me I got to buy some goggles.
You got to get the whole gear. Yeah, go all out, man. Do it. Like when you invest in something, you get into it, it works yourself out.
Yeah, it's crazy how that event happened. It inspired me to get the
we draw inspiration from some crazy things. We never know.
Yes, yeah, you're right about that, my good brother. Man, you're right about that. So, yeah, I'm going to do that, man. But, brother, good to have you on the show, man. Coach Huff is a buddy of mine, man. I had him on the show as well. Edward Waters, my buddy, Tennessee State's football coach there, Toriano. It was like, so... Yeah, man. So I was happy to have you on the show, man. And you, I'm telling you, I call you. You are the Beard Brothers, my. The Beard Brothers.
That's my mentor. That's my guy. I love that dude so much, and I can't thank him for giving me the opportunity here. And just he really blessed me here. Like he gave his blessing, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that guy right there. I love him forever. I try to get them on the schedule too. You know, I am competitive. So hopefully, I think next year we'll try to, you know, there used to be a rivalry between Voorhees and Edward Waters. We used to be in the same conference. So we want to kind of get those up, maybe get a classic or something. But I love that. I love that guy. He's the best. He is. So I thank you. Thank you. Because any opportunity I can get to promote Voorhees and to tell people about what we do here in Little Denmark is a great opportunity. And hopefully we play Clark Atlanta. So I got to get you. I'm going to email you the schedule. So, you know, maybe check us out. We got North Georgia. We got Clark Atlanta. So we'll be in the metro area. We play Dalton State. So we'll be in the area.
Sounds good, my brother. Folks, that's James Williams from the Boss Man Show. Boy, he's a college, university man. You see him on the shirt, blue and black, United.
Yes, sir.
My brother, it was fun, man. Just get real soon, my guy.
Yes, sir. Anytime you need me, I'm here.
All right.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.